Today's message is entitled, Feed My Sheep. John 21 and 16, he saith unto them, Feed my sheep. And this commission was given at a very suggestive time. Peter and his companions had just finished dining with Jesus, you see. And they were probably sighing with contentment and ooing and aahing and tongues rolling around in their mouths, getting the last bit of the juices. Probably they were rubbing their stomachs, feeling very content, maybe even just a little bit sleepy as they smiled at one another. And in the middle of that picture, as Jesus was looking at them, we hear him say, Feed my sheep. Right in the middle of their burping. Feed my sheep. Can you do it? In your contentment. When you're full, when your self is satisfied, with lamb fat dripping from your lips, will you be able to receive such a message? Feed my sheep. And all of you here today have been in a worship service. Wasn't it good? Was a feeding. You have been eating and drinking of a spiritual food. And so now you're refreshed and able to say, and you should be able to hear this command, Feed my sheep. You went on this wonderful retreat, and I think they are beautiful because people come back restored. But I think then you're also ready to hear the command, Feed my sheep. Many times we see people who only eat and eat and eat and eat and they never feed. Jesus is commanding you today, all of us today, feed my sheep. Now I'm not saying it, the Lord is. Some of you here have a desire to become preachers. Some of you listening to me on the radio or tape already are. Let me address my message to you today, because after all, this ministry does lift up and raise up leaders. But those whom the Lord addressed, especially Simon, had been a fisherman. And just before they had dined, Simon Peter had been out and he drew in a great load of fish. And I think when we're saved and first saved, we're all fishermen. But many of you listening to my voice here and on the radio, probably to this tape, somewhere in the world, have developed from fisher to shepherd. The fisherman, of course, represents the evangelist who casts out the nest upon the waters and draws in the fish to land. But it is not to him today that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks when he says, Feed my sheep. That is reserved for those of a greater maturity and a greater experience, developed in seeing, developed in hearing. They have eyes to see with, and they have ears to hear with. They are developed. But now listen, preachers and will be preachers, don't stop fishing. Many enter the ministry and they stop fishing. They stop the work of evangelist. I asked the Lord some years back, I said, well, what is my calling? The Lord told me, he says, you are a preacher, teacher, evangelist. And I don't know which order those come in as I preach to you today, but that's what the Lord told me. So you're all three of those things. You want to be Christ-like? Why, are you saying there aren't certain callings? Yes, I know there's certain callings. But now you have other duties to perform. Physical feeding of the multitudes. Spiritual feeding of the multitudes, pastors. Teaching discipline to the sheep. Now, if you've been down here, you know that I'm a stickler on discipline. Teaching obedience to the sheep. knowing the sheep, knowing their needs. Now I know as a fact you can't teach something that you have not experienced yourself. Don't fret and don't you worry. But you say, will I be misunderstood if I give out mercy and grace and love? Of course! Of course! You will be misunderstood. You will be taken advantage of. You will be hung on a cross. You will be hated. But the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. And in all things, in prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto me, saith the Lord. But preacher and would-be preachers, you must make yourself vulnerable by giving your life. You will be misunderstood, and many times people will say to you, why do you do it? You'll have to answer something like this. It is the offering up of ourselves to God. It is a laying down of our lives for the life of the world. And my friend, that is the great mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why you do it? You don't know. You know it's filled to do it, and you know you're supposed to do it, and you do it, but you don't know exactly why. You'll be taken advantage of, but so what? You've given your life, haven't you? Why do we walk in fear when you say, oh, don't give out too much grace, you'll be misunderstood. Don't give out too much mercy, you'll be, of course you will be. And I say to that, so what? Love overlooks all things. Love bears all things. Love never takes into account a wrong suffered. Yes, give all grace and give all mercy and give all love. And expect to suffer the same as the Lord did. Don't use that as an excuse to not minister. Oh, you'll be misunderstood. Of course you will be. Don't be fearful of giving out, giving of yourself. Give your life. Give it all. Give it all. You won't be happy until you do. Say amen, somebody. You come down here and work in the mission, you'll find out it's hard to give your all. You don't have too much. But what you have, give, and you'll be given more to give. You'll only be filled with what you give out. If you give out Jesus, you'll be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. If you give out politics, you'll be filled up with votes and issues and claims. Oh, pastor, stay out of that. Stay out of it. That is another deception. Pray. Go and vote. But don't get yourself behind the pulpit and talk politics. I'm sorry, it's just not of the Lord. Go ye out into the world and preach the gospel. Don't go out there and preach politics. Now, how many of you heard what I just said there? And I know there's people that are just going to, oh, hey, we've got to get involved. Well, you start praying and you'll get involved. God is going to pull down the strongholds of the devil right through prayer. God is going to cause men to turn around in government and world governments and everything. And it's reaching towards the end right now. All of the trains of the revelations are in right now, steaming there, waiting to be filled with the passengers of the oncoming and fulfilling of the prophecies that are already there. Praise the Lord! God has got everything under control. Know that He is God. But you'll only be filled with what you give. Give Jesus Christ away and be filled with Jesus Christ. Freely, freely I have given unto you, freely give it away. Freely, freely I have given you mercy, freely, freely give it away. Freely, freely I have given you love, freely, freely give it away. Freely, freely I have given you forgiveness, freely, freely give it away. You'll have to feed as well as to fish. To handle the word as well as the net. To become versatile. To become instant in season and out of season. When it's handy and when it isn't handy. But now we leave the sea where we drifted to and fro, and we abide among our own flocks, standing and feeding in the strength of the Lord. And yet we still evangelize. We still speak that message of bringing them in, casting out our nets. We can't lay that down. The first of my ministry was going out and evangelizing. I'm so happy for it. Gave me a heart to evangelize. Gave me that heart and that calling to go out and cast them nets out and to bring others in and show all these other types of fishes that we bring in how to minister and how to lead people to Christ. And so, yes, we must still evangelize, but we pay special attention to the duties of the pastor. For he who once said, cast your net upon the right side, now says to us, feed my sheep. Now today I'm talking to disciples to whom the Lord has shown himself, who are now rowing ashore to now feed his sheep. Evangelizing and pastoring, you'll find out, are quite different. You must be definitely called to be a pastor, especially in this dark age. Are you hearing this message today? But anyway, in this, what we're reading here today is sort of an ordination to Peter's pastorate. He needed to be publicly recognized. You see, he was publicly offended. He had had an open hearing and everyone heard. And his ordination commenced with an examination bearing upon his very work. Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? I find out that, and I know from my own personal experience, that the Lord does not entrust any of his flock to anyone without questioning them as to their inner condition. And so you thinking of pastoring, count the cost. Give yourself a self-examination. Have a soul search, a heart scan. Unless you are called, unless you are anointed of the Lord, you will have a weak flock. No direction and no discipline. But you will observe the examination was directed to the state of Peter's heart. And so it touched the very most innermost spring of all of his ministry. For if love be absent, all is in vain. The heart of godliness is missing if love is lacking. If there's no love, you're no minister. If we have not the love of Christ, we are fruitless. Say amen, somebody. There'll be no fruit. Yes, I'll say it again. You will be misunderstood. You will be hated in the house of your friends. Folks will leave. People will misunderstand, but love goes on. Think about it before you become a pastor or want to become a pastor. Count the cost. Ask Jesus, is this what you want for me? Do you believe what you've told others? If you do, then, pastors, you'll know that to love Christ Jesus, you must first love his sheep, because, see, you can see them. That makes you a believer, by the way, that long, long suffering. Because love is long suffering, suffers long. Love is patient, and love is forgiving, and love is tough. Long-suffering love develops and grows the more it suffers for Christ's sake. You want to grow in love? Then you got to suffer for Christ's sake. Oh, golly, what a message. The only way that you grow in love is to suffer. You suffer with your children, and while you do, is a strange thing happen. You grow in love. My folks and myself were very close because they suffered a lot with me. They didn't fold. They grew in love. How else do you grow in love unless it's tested? Love invites trials. Mark it down now. Mark it down. Love invites persecution. Love invites wounds. But it grows, strange as it may seem to your ears, in that atmosphere, or it is not love. Agape love, divine love. Doesn't say be careful, you'll be misunderstood. Doesn't say be careful, you'll be hurt and wounded and cursed and hated. Be careful, no. And finally, then you understand what Jesus means when he says, turn the other cheek when someone slaps you. And you're able to do it. Because agape love needs exercise to grow in. It must suffer and it must share to grow. Say amen, somebody. Oh, we've got to get to the heart of this message. Because I tell you, there's a whole lot of unlovely people out there. Mainly ourselves. Say amen, somebody. Isn't love more than an overcomer through Christ who strengthens it? Does love keep score? Does love hold grudges? It's not love then. It's not love. Your love for Jesus will be tested and tried, and it grows in the Garden of Gethsemane. It grows in the trials, and it grows under the lash, and sometimes it even makes people get bored. Ah, I'm tired of it. Well, then you're not going to grow in love. But you will if you persevere and you go on and on and on and on. You'll finally come to the realization of the Bible says, give your life. And when you give your life for Christ, you give your life for incarnate love. And what you give your life for, you become. Do you want that? Then there is a price to be paid. But let me tell you here today, it's worth it. You want deliverance? Die. Do you want deliverance? Ask the Lord to fill you with his love. And don't be afraid that you'll be misunderstood, because you will. Always you'll be misunderstood. You smile at someone, they'll say, oh, they like me. Ooh, huh? Well, then you just got to tell them about Jesus. That'll turn off their sex habits. Say amen, somebody. Do you know why I'm smiling at you so sweetly? Because Jesus loves you. You hearing this? Maybe you don't want to say that. Maybe the flesh is still there. Huh? How many are hearing this today? It grows in the Garden of Gethsemane. It grows in meeting the needs of Christ's people as sheep. And it grows when the flesh is put upon the cross, cries out, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? But our Lord here deals with the most vital point. The question is not, Simon, son of Jonas, knowest thou me? Though that would have not been too far off or too unreasonable. Because after all, he had said, I know not the man. But then he might have asked, Simon, son of Jonas, knowest thou the deep mysteries of God? And he did know them. For his Lord had called him blessed for knowing that which flesh and blood could not have known, that the Spirit had to reveal to him. And then again, our Lord didn't examine his credentials, his spirituality, his mental ability, his spiritual qualifications. But he asked him, Simon, do you love me? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? If so, then feed my sheep. And so pastors listening, and would-be pastors listening, number one endowment, is to love Jesus Christ supremely. And only such a man as fit to look after Christ's sheep. And then when you do that, you will fulfill the office as you do. And your love will keep you in the Lord's company. It'll keep you under His supervision. It'll keep you under His wing. It will secure you with His help. Love Him, and you will feed His sheep. Love, I said Friday night, leads people to that rock that's higher than I, like David. How many know sometimes you need to crawl upon a rock that is higher than I? When your heart, it says, is overwhelmed. David says, I'm overwhelmed. Lead me to a rock that is higher than I. Higher than my pretendings. Higher than my trying to fool people. Higher than my little plan things and my formulas of faith and my formulas as to how to be spiritual. Lead me to a rock that's higher than I. But if you have that love will overpower people. They will know that no matter how they treat you, how badly they treat you, you will still bounce back. And in my ministry, I've had the greatest pleasure of loving some of the worst stinkers you could ever imagine. The most objectionable people, and I keep loving them until they love me. And sometimes I just do it because the Lord says to, and I'll get a reward. So I'm looking for a reward, I'll be honest with you. But then I'm still growing too, aren't I? Some of the most bitter people, you keep right on loving them. You know what? They'll know then that that's for real. Oh, you mean we'll have no enemies? No, I didn't say that. You'll have enemies, but then the Bible says pray for your enemies. That's a test. And you know what that does? It prunes you. Prunes all the fruitless branches off. Causes you to bloom or to bomb. How many bomb once in a while? Someone comes up and God has sent them especially for you, and you feel that familiar spirit. You know why they call it familiar? Because you have one just like they do. Only it's hiding back in here someplace, and you pushed it back into your subconscious, and you're sitting on the lid of your subconscious. They're sitting on it, and this person comes up with the same spirit, and you can feel that spirit approach, and this other spirit is pushing on the lid. Ooh, let me yell. I want to tell that guy off. Ooh, huh? You say, no, you don't. Sit, and you just try to be sweet, and that person comes up, and they get at you, and pretty soon the lid comes off, and there you are, and you bomb. You either bomb or you bloom, like these flowers out here. They didn't bomb, they bloomed. Say amen, somebody. The most callous men, when they feel that they know and they know that you love them, are drawn to you. And when they're drawn to you, they're drawn nearer to the Lord, because you see, you're nearer to the Lord than they are, so that at least they're going in the right direction. You can't look after God's people and properly care for them in all of their sins and all of their temptations and trials and difficulties unless you love them. Because you'll grow sick and you'll grow weary at heart, and you'll say, the pastor's work is too much, unless there be that spring of love in your heart welling up towards them that the Holy Spirit has put in there. Because God is not the author of confusion. Say amen, somebody. It's like a mother. She'll sit with her child, a sick child, for days and days and days, and then the hired nurse comes in, and she fails. Why is that? Love props up her eyelids. Love keeps her going. That's like when we have people that come down and they are volunteers. They don't look at their watch. It's time for break. They forget it. The hireling, it says, fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep, but the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. There's a difference. Because if you really love sheep, you will be ready to spend your life for them. or even lay it down for their sakes. Say amen, somebody. Well, they're not worth it. Golly, guy. And there's some preachers out there listening to me right now on the radio. It's not worth it. I'm ready to quit. I'm going to go back and work in the machine shop, or I'm going to go back over here, or I'm going to go to Wonder Bread. And then we can say, oh, we'll wonder where the yellow went. Love then is the chief endowment of the pastor. Don't fall short in your evangelism, and don't fall short in preparing for your message or in discerning the times. Oh, hey, learn to ask God to have you to discern the times. That's not always easy to do, because when you get discernment about a storm that's coming, there'll be a whole lot of folks over here just frivolizing and just having a good time and so on. And you say, hey, there's a storm coming. How can it be? The sun is shining and everything is great. Praise the Lord. And they don't grow one smidgen. My God, I've seen Christians. I've been saved 12 years. And these people I've seen, they were 20 years back. They were 20 years in the Lord. So now they're 32 or 50 years in the Lord. And I said it Friday night, and I'll say it again. I met this woman at 12 years ago. Well, Jesus has just got to do something with my fat. And the very thing came forth 12 years later. Well, Jesus has just got to do something with my fat. It's a good thing I'm not God. You know what I would do? I would just stuff them in the box and put them in the closet. Say, this, keep your fat inside there. You ain't going to talk about Jesus. You know all these spiritual things, but yet you're still talking about your fat. Sister or brother or whoever, just don't get your mind on your fat. Get your mind stayed on Christ and be a fat, nice Christian that's not spiritually lean. Every meeting there is, and they're still talking about their thunder thighs. It's the truth, isn't it? That's not growing. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Didn't say sit around and talk about your fat. World has a word for it. Chewing the fat. But above all, remember, the heart has more power in the pastoral work than the head. Because a large-headed man with an ice-cold heart is but a hireling, hired, paid, involved, uninvolved, uncommitted, a mouth for hire. And probably on his cards he has, have mouth, will travel. But the Lord Jesus Christ connected with this examination upon the matter of love with the commission, feed my sheep. Because our work in feeding the flock of God is proof of the love of the Lord. Now, we tell people that love must be in deed and not in word only. And we judge whether a man has love for Christ by listening to what he has to say, by testing by what that he will do for Christ, how much suffering will he endure for Christ, how much of his life will he give for Christ, what of himself will be used for Christ, and that's our measuring stick. And then there are many like Peter in his early ministry who will rush out into the water to meet Jesus, for it would be something extraordinary and brief. And this would suit many of us, for we are not given to plodding perseverance. We're given to show. Oh, move over! Here I come, hyper faith in it. And what's happened to the hyper faith? They all sunk. Say amen, somebody. No perseverance, but just getting on to the light, fantastic, because, ooh, huh? Well, I want to tell you something. That's not feeding the sheep. Because it's so easy to get into yourself and try to get some of the glory. I am a this or I am a that. Here I go walking on the water. And as soon as you look at yourself and get your eye and peel, hey, look at me! Bam, down you go. Hair floating up, eyeballs just wild. People looking down the water, and there you are. You get the picture? Ooh. See, our zeal is great. We dash off like Peter, and then we sink. But note that Christ doesn't say, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Go walk on the water. Prove your ministry with miracles. He seems to say, you have done enough spectaculars in your early ministry. Now go quietly and feed my sheep. That will be a miracle. Right or wrong? That's what God's telling pastors. But it's so hard to get it across because there are so many experts now. Because they've been to every seminar, every meeting, and they're all, they're not pastors, or I don't know what they are. They're a bunch of crows sitting up on a wire. Huh? My God, are you hearing this? And they'll settle for the crumbs when you drop them. No, it's hard and it's tiring and it's quiet work. And if you have no love, you will soon tire of it. Tired? Did you hear what I said? You'll get sick of it. Ooh, I am sick. Some people just get sick sitting in church. Why is that? Because they're backsliding. Say amen, somebody. Now put yourself in the place of a pastor. And some of you want to be pastors. I'm just telling you this. You on the radio that are pastors are going to be pastors. I'm telling you, this is what it's all about. Feeding the sheep. Being involved, plodding along. Huh? It's not walking on the water. Do a miracle, Peter. Feed my sheep and stay there and do it. Prove yourself. Be dedicated. Be loyal. Get in the ministry. Stay there. Do something. Stop running all over talking about your fat for 20 years. Oh, God. How many are hearing this today? Kind of a little different message, isn't it? That's what the Lord is telling me. That's what he's telling your pastor. Don't you believe it? Don't you out there, pastors, now admit it. Don't you believe it? Of course you do. Then admit it and tell it and preach it. And will you be faithful in such a place? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep, he says. And in the middle of all that, feed my sheep, in the original Greek, it means lead them and guide them and direct them. And on either end of the sandwich, it says feed them. There's no glamour and there's no glitter. I'm telling you, pastors, to go on back to your flocks and feed them. And this is a proof of your affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that only. Brighten the corner where you are. Oh, we hate to brighten a corner, unless it's a corner of a, you know, a nation or a corner of the world. It's all ours. Brighten a corner where you are. You don't want to do that, do we? Nah, we want to just sit and talk about how spiritual we become and how we can get more spiritual. Wait a minute now. It just seems to me in the revival of 1946, and this was... Were you at that? Oh, God. The Now, if you're going to be sitting doing that, you're not going to feed anybody. They'll all die. I took Ruth down here to a hearing to get her jaw fixed. She said, "Will you go with me?" I said, "Yes, I'll go with you." I knew what to expect when I got there because I was in the world. And they had the court administrator. He was sitting there, very wise. Then they had the one that was her protector. He was sitting here. He was very wise and very mean. And then there were two over here, and they were the oral surgeons, and they were very wise. They didn't say anything. They didn't want to lose the county's business. And so they said, "How can we be sure that your jaw is really cracked?" "Well, we have the proof here." Well, then they couldn't find the papers, so the guy, after an hour and a half, he says, "You know what? Let's not waste our time. We can't go on because Section 457 of the code of the county, of the state, of the world, of the blah, 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 blah. And if that isn't here, then we can't go on." And I sat there, and in the spirit, I saw, I don't know if it was in the flesh or spirit, I got to tell the truth, Lord. But I saw them all licking on ice cream cones, and they were trying to make them last. Weren't they? And I started laughing. It was just so asinine. I thought, is this it? And I have to tell the truth. I felt like getting up and singing, "Is this all there is? Is this all there is? Huh?" And they were so busy trying to look so intelligent, and they looked so stupid, and it reminded me of a lot of times of Christians licking on spiritual ice cream cones. Well, that's true, but oh, God. God, help me. Help me. Are you hearing it? And we left, and nobody said anything, and it was 2 hours later, and they had it all on tape. I don't know why. They didn't say anything. I told Ruth, I said, let me tell you something. Now, maybe this is from my old nature of conning. I don't know. But I says, "I'll tell you how you work this, Ruth. You go right up here to Pilot City, and you go in and say, 'You know, I think there's something wrong with my jaw. You want to take an x-ray?' And they'll take an x-ray for free up there, and they'll work on your jaw and everything, and then you can turn it all into those people, say, 'Oh, I've already got it done. Here it is.' I just went up, and 2 weeks later, it was done. Because nobody knows what each other is doing. Do you ever notice? They're too busy trying to be important themselves, and they never join in a collective union thing. And that's the same way with Christianity today. They're all sitting around with their own little message, trying to be spiritual, and it isn't working. There's no shepherd. There's no leader. And he's kind of fearful to tell folks things like, 'I'm saying, are you hearing it, Pastor? Why don't you say it?' So he'll sit back and he'll listen to all this nonsense, and he knows he's not doing his job. And so you end up with a lot of hating of one another and suspicious of one another and spiritual ice cone licking. How many are hearing this today? But anyway, brighten the corner where you are. This pastor's work for Christ is the craving of love. You know what I crave most of all? The love of Jesus. In every heart that is set apart for it, for the Lord, there is a tremendous craving that cannot be satisfied for the love of Jesus Christ. Every soul that truly loves him longs to do something for him. Longs to. "Here I am, Lord, send me." It can't do otherwise. Love must serve. It must serve its beloved. Yearns to go on and lay down its life at the feet, the offering yearns to. Was there any pressure that was needed to make the forgiven sinner wash Christ's feet with her tears and to wipe him with her hair and to anoint him with precious ointment? Her heart says, go, and she obeyed immediately. Yes, 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 yes. And I believe a lot of people always have had, since their conception, a pastor's heart. I always did. It was perverted, but I always had that kind of a heart. And when I was born again, it became very evident. You see, I was redeemed and didn't know it until I was called. And there's a lot of people out there that are redeemed that aren't called yet. And they say, hey, you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Come on in here. What's wrong with you? Wake up. And you know, I find out that the way to love another more is to do more for him. That sounds kind of weird, don't it? The way to love a person more is to do more for that person. Overlook more, bear more, endure more, long-suffer more, and you'll love them more. That's like when a man has done a kindness to you, he will love you. If I do a kindness to you, and I give you that kindness, I'll love you. Because I was a vessel. It's a mystery. But that giving makes me love you more. Same way in your marriage. When you give more to her, you'll love her more. She might not love you more. Not for a long, long time. And the same with you. If you want to love him more, you have to give more to him, more of yourself. And then you'll love him more. The more you give, the more you love him. See, that's the way love is. It has to give. God has to love. God is what? He has to. It's an urgency, or you'll blow up. You want to have love? Then go to someone, and you know, and the real test is when you give to somebody you don't like. The more love you get them, the more you're going to love them, and they'll probably hate you all the more. That's a test of your love. And that's how you grow in the soul's soil of love. Doesn't that sound weird? But you know, it's the truth. How many know that's the truth? See, the receiver may be very unmindful of the favor, but the giver has a better memory. When you give something to somebody, you remember it. By the way, there's some folks in here that owe me some money. No. No, you see what I mean? No, I've got to bring it in a little bit because I'm getting a little heavy here. How many understand what I'm trying to get across here? The giver remembers more than the receiver. And more blessed to give, the Lord says. Why? Happy. More happy is he that gives. For the more that he gives, the more that he wants to give, and the more that he gives the person, the more that he loves that person, because he's got a lot invested in him. Jesus gave his life. That's a big investment. He isn't going to forget you for a minute. Say amen, somebody. That's the whole secret of the gospel. Oh my God. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Woo! I don't think there's any fear of the Lord ceasing to love us at all. For he has suffered, it says, even unto death. God. Incarnate love, I mean, how can you say it? Oh, you can't say it. All you can do is use some words. Love, not acquired love, but love from the beginning until the end, gave himself on the cross, and now he loves you more. A lot of times we don't remember what was done, but he never forgets. And as we feed Christ's sheep, pastors listening and would-be pastors and people here, building up his people and cheering up the discouraged ones. Isn't that what it's supposed to be for the building up and the clearing up and the cheering up? You will love Jesus more. Do you ever cheer somebody up and they got cheered up and then you feel that good feeling. I get that good feeling. And you love Jesus more and you say, thank you, Jesus. Feed my sheep. What does it do? It unites us in the service with Jesus, and we feed the poor and we take care of the widows and we visit the jails and the highways and the byways and the hospitals. And where do we go to meet Jesus? In them very places. That's where he's at. Then you'll come to understand, oh yes, the weeping over Jerusalem. You pastors, some of you have been rudely treated, slandered, reviled, maligned, asked to leave, told to get out. And Jesus asks, do you still love me? I have left. Do you still love me? You've had soul fainting, Pastor. Do you still love me? You were overwhelmed. Do you still love me? And others have said to you, Pastor, get back to walking on the water. Perform, excel, have revival. And I say unto you, feed my sheep. Do you still love me? In your unpopular position, Pastor, plodding along like a large Budweiser horse? How many are hearing this? And I just said horse. Oh, don't just get all upset over that. I'm describing a horse. How many heard that? How many seen those magnificent animals plodding along? That's what a pastor is. Times are not too cute. No comments, please. But that's the work of a pastor. And there's a million voices out there, a whole lot of crows sitting up here. Quack, quack! Do you still love me with all them crows watching you? Them old crows? Man, they're all over the place. Oh, man, the wires, three wires full of crows, mile long. Sometimes people wait for one little thing to go wrong in your message. Do you still love me? Did you know that? Did you? Say amen. Do you still love me when you're under the gun? And a party's back there writing with their pencil feverishly. Oh, hoo-hoo, I heard it. Oh, do you still love me? But Peter needed this word. Feed my sheep. He needed it from who? From the Lord. Why? He had denied the Lord. Others had not. He thought, they'll distrust me now. I've denied the Lord thrice. And he thought, they will not receive from me. They'll remember how frightened I was by a little maid. And they'll snarl and they'll smirk and they'll say, you are not of God. You are not anointed anymore. God has left you. Do you still love me when you hear that, Pastor? And so therefore Christ speaks to Peter, feed my sheep. And don't get fearful, there's a heavy anointing on here today to minister to pastors. Some of you. And it also can minister to you too. Sure it is. All pastors, hear him. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Be encouraged. Don't listen to all the crows sitting on the wire, man. They're going to find something wrong every time. They've been in every movement that ever was. And they haven't grown one smidgen. They're just about that big yet. Say amen, somebody. And when, by the way, you know, your spirituality is only as Jesus. That's as spiritual as you're going to get. Peter needed that word, and I think a lot of pastors need to hear that word, feed my sheep. Jesus knew that Peter needed to be used. Jesus knew his repentance was real, and pastor, are you repenting right now? He doesn't want you to have too much sorrow, and he didn't want Peter to have too much sorrow. And he was saying, come, Peter, don't listen to your own conscience. Don't let it put you down in the belly of the whale. And if you do get down there, pastor, cry out like Jonah did, and then I remembered the Lord. Now I know your soul is fainting. Now I know you feel like giving it all up, and I still tell you, feed my sheep. But in Peter's case here, we see a man zealous for the Lord, but an imperfect character. Imperfect. We see how his failure had been overruled by God to prepare him for a life work. God overruled his failures. Isn't that great? But Lord, I'm a failure. Overruled. Go and feed the sheep. I'm over you and I rule you. I overrule you. Feed my sheep. Don't rule yourself and say, I'm not going to use you. It's predestined to be so. Get back there, you sniveler. But Peter needed a rebuke because of his own weakness. And a lot of times pastors need that for their own weakness. Because this man was too great. He was too self-confident. There was too much of Peter and too little of disciple. And so he must come down. He must get depressed. And how does this happen? By letting him see his own heart. How many in here have seen their own heart? My God, I have. Haven't you seen your own heart yet? Maybe you're not ready to see your own heart yet. Oh, that's nasty. And you're going along and you're thinking you're so sweet and kind and generous and loving. And then God shows you your own heart. How many have seen their own heart? How many will never judge again? It's a job for love, isn't it? Now, preachers, listen to me. Your painful breakdown will be many times the making of you, and your painful breakdown will many times be the making of you. The breaking down of the strongholds of the devil within yourself and around you are painful, but most times, all times, they will be the making of you. And so that your failures are Jesus' successes. Therefore, your success. How many are hearing this? And you're going along onward, Christian soldiers, and nothing's wrong, and everything is great. And somebody throws spit at you, and somebody spits on you, and hits you, and curses you. And that old familiar spirit comes up. God shows you your old heart down But in doing that, you see yourself and you say, hey, drop dead. Woo! And you'll get free from self-esteem. Well, shouldn't we have self-esteem and self-confidence? Doesn't perfect love cast out all fear? Well, look at your face. You're not fit for the master's use until you've seen yourself, until you've died to yourself, until you've seen your own heart. When you've seen you, maybe you're sitting out there today and maybe you're listening to the tape or the radio and you have a deep sense of your weakness and unworthiness. Good! Now you are qualified.
That message was a total flop. What happened?
Huh? Now you're ready to be used by the Lord. You're ready and you're qualified for dealing with Christ's sheep. Because you are a sinner and you know it! A sinner saved by grace! And you thought, well, I never was really bad. You ever heard somebody say that? Well, I came to the Lord, but you know, I always lived a sort of a sheltered life. I never really was bad, you know. Never did anything, you know, and never stole or anything like that. You know, I never smoked. I was talking to a guy just last week. You know, I'd never got into those things. I never smoked and never had any drugs and alcohol and those things. And it just, well, I just never had those things. And so he was just almost, I could see his hand going up, spiritually speaking, of course, and marking points. Doot, 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 four, and then a cross, and doot, 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 and then a cross. And I was counting them. There was about 150 in about 30 seconds. Well, see, he already had his reward. But he hadn't seen himself yet. It's the job of the pastor to tell people that, hey, it's not by your righteousness that you're saved. Because the Bible says your righteousness is but filthy rags, but sometimes we don't see that. We don't want to see it. And we get up and the rags are all filthy and everything, and everybody else sees them, but we don't. We think we're flowing along in gowns. And there's old greasy rags hanging off us. Huh? You'll know how it is to backslide because you've been there. Oh, shut up, preacher. I can hear you right now saying, hey, you're just telling people to go out and backslide. I didn't say that. You backslide in your mind every day. Every time that you think that you're something you're not. Because you've broken your own bones, you're very careful how you handle those who have broken bones. And pastors, let me tell you something else. You're going to have to be slow to anger. You'll run into men that are angrier than you are, and they'll cause your anger to rile up. Oh, it'll either kill you or cure you. And Peter thought only the Jew could be saved. And then he went to Cornelius' house, and he found out. And Jesus said, there's nothing unclean. It's all up here in your mind, in your bigoted, prejudiced mind. And lastly here, it touched me to find out the Lord addressing Peter by his old name, Simon, son of Jonas. He was not called Petros, the rock, and I wondered about that. But son of Jonas, son of a timid dove. Pastors, you listening, if you're filled with a sense or with a consciousness of your own weakness, of your own unworthiness, still Jesus is saying to you, feed my sheep. Don't let them suffer until you can get over your fit. You just get up and do it. You feed my sheep. When you can't go as Peter, go as Simon, son of Jonas. And that was his old name. Jesus was having him recall that first love. And pastors, I would have you to be filled today with the old recollections of the past. And doubt will flee when you know the Lord has done all that he's done for you. Then you'll have no doubt about your calling, and no one will be able to sway you from your calling. But you will say, that which was from the beginning, which we have seen with our eye, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life declare we unto you. We speak what we do know and testify that which we have seen. Pastor, feed my sheep. Don't be afraid of overfeeding them, for the Bible says they hunger and thirst after righteousness. Feed them. Don't feed them rituals and tall hats and swinging robes and beads. Don't invent food for them. Don't get caught up in popery fascination. Then feed yourselves and allow Christ to make your soul fat with the Word of God. Feed them with knowledge and with understanding, and be watchful, for it says in the end, many ravenous wolves will come in. There'll be many deceiving spirits that will swoop in, and they'll be so look like they're so. But look down, you're going to see an old hoof hanging out underneath that gown when they cross them old legs. And have patience with people, because they don't change overnight. Some of them are going to wander, but keep right on feeding, keep right on giving, keep right on growing in love through the suffering for Christ's sake. And how do we do that? By feeding my sheep. That's your commission. All you that want to be pastors, all you that are being raised up, all you listening that are pastors, get back to what Jesus told you to do and stop letting your congregation have 15,000 things going on at the same time. Say amen, somebody. Be dedicated to the cause that God has told you to do. Wouldn't that be like a family and they all going their own ways? I think we should be in this, and I think we should be in that, and everybody's going their own way and there's confusion. Oh, I think we should eat at 1 o'clock, and I think we should eat at 2 o'clock. Oh, I'd like to eat at 4, huh? Nothing gets done. You can't make the beds because people are sleeping in them until 2 o'clock in the afternoon, because that's the way they want it. I got my rights. Someone's got to take a firm hand. Someone's got to get back to what Jesus said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. You've walked on water. You've done all those things. Now can you really work a miracle and just be steadfast, always abounding in the love of Christ? Will you just go and feed my sheep? Will you plod along like that big old horse I was talking about? And you know what? You'll grow in love, and you'll be the winner for it. You'll love your work so much you hate to part yourself from it. It will be your life. Bright in the corner where you are. Pray for the pastors that are out there right now with all these 13 or 14 years of teaching that's gone on, and everybody is a giant in God. They're claiming everything there is to claim, and the pastor can't do his job. He can't go ahead with a plan and a purpose because everybody is at... It's just like in the world. Whatever you see in the world, you can see over here in the Christian. They got it out there now. I used to go and like to go into where they had art galleries and so on. They had a horse look like a horse. Now they take a wad of paint and they throw it at the wall. And they say, what do you think that looks like? I say, it looks like a wad of paint that was thrown at the wall. Isn't that right, Jim? Jim does a painting, you can tell what it is. Because he's an expert at painting. He's an artist. Everybody doesn't have that talent. All I can do is draw stick people, and they got rickets. But I'm not called to be an artist. I'm called to be a pastor. And a pastor I will be. The best that's in me. I'm going to pray to God that I be a good pastor. Have you heard what I had said here today? I'm going to take a hold of this ministry, and we are going to have a pastor that's going to do a work. I've always had it, but I've never challenged all the outward forces that come in with long, flowing spiritual gowns. No, I'm all done with that. Jesus said, feed my sheep. And I'll tell you, when you do that, you grow in the love. And that's what's happening here on the north side. Say amen, somebody. Is there anybody in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? You can just put your hand up. You can be one of the Lord's. One of the Lord's. Anybody that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior. Now, you don't get it by going to confirmation. And you don't get it by visiting the Pope. You get it by confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Are you born again, honey? Okay. Is there anyone here that doesn't know for sure? Just hoist your hand up if you don't know. It takes 30 seconds. 30 seconds to receive Jesus. Serious business right now. Coming of the Lord is right around the corner. You're born again, honey. You're born again. You're born again, sweetheart. Okay. Have we missed anybody? We don't want to miss anybody. Son, are you born again? Okay. Ooh. You all both born again? Okay. I'm fishing now, see? I'm fishing. God didn't say lay down your fishing poles. Anybody? Sometimes in the lily pads, you can get them big mouth bass. Nothing personal now. Hi, brother. Hi, honey. We missed anybody? Looks like they've all been brought in. Anybody? Beautiful blonde-haired lady, are you born again, honey? Right here, are you born again, sweetheart? Okay. If you don't know, you can do it today. Somebody listening out on the radio? You want to fall in love, hook, line, and sinker? You want to be pulled into the boat, and then we'll bring you into dry land and we'll feed you. You'll go from a fish to a lambikins. From a lambikins to a sheep. We got everybody? Is there anybody? Last call. Right here? Come on up, honey. Come on up. I knew the Lord was. I knew there was something out there fishing. I knew it. Come on, sweetheart. Oh, boy. Isn't she sweet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Praise the Lord for you, honey. Praise the Lord. You just pray after me and say, Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner.
Come into my heart
and save me. Now, Lord Jesus, baptize and fill me with God's Holy Spirit. Give me wisdom and knowledge. Peace, joy, and love. And Lord, a new language to praise your holy name. Praise God, I'm saved and filled with God's Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, cabra balahando shosono so hot na shazne ke wuto po yidine ke yidi andro hot na shazaka wuto po yidine. Lazaroth la shazaka wundro po yidine ke wuto porro ko hot na shazne ke wu. Go ye out into the world. Minister to all creation, saith the Lord. Minister to your friends. Minister to your parents. Minister to your teacher. Be that light, be that beacon, be that one, be that child that is going to lead those in this end time
You are the one that I have called, saith the Lord, to do this job. Wherever that you go, remember, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And I say to you this day, feed my sheep. Oh God. There's a beautiful, heavy anointing here today. You feel that, honey? Feel that going through your body? That is the Spirit of the Lord. Isn't that precious? Ooh.